Blog Talk Radio.
A little bit better quality tonight as far as hearing me. Alleluia, the theme song. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Turn to the northwest, south, and east. All over this planet, I am broadcasting live, you little night owls. You, this is Night Owls Radio. I just couldn't wait to broadcast tonight. I had to get on the air 30 minutes earlier than you expected, isn't it? Because it is 11 p.m. and not 11:30 p.m. And those who are regular listeners might be probably saying to themselves right now, and you've probably said this when the show wasn't on the air, you've probably said, that woman talks way too much. Your beautiful hostess, Miss X, is going to talk less tonight so that we can get to the show without being cut off as I scratch and scrape my talons. I'm doing it right now along the wall of the marble white coffin that I climb out of whenever I can, usually on a Friday night, to come to New York City's blog, talkradio.com, and present another show of the strange, the supernatural, as you humans call it, all the weird things that happen on this planet Earth that seem weird to us, and all the best in old science fiction monster movies, which brings us to tonight's old-time radio program. Some of you may have heard of it. Some of you may not. Get it? Heard it? Heard of it? All right. It is Miss X presenting X minus one, which was a 1950s radio show. If you had a radio in the 1950s, if you were around in the 1950s, you would have heard this show. And you know that science fiction sometimes has morphed into science reality. Things that were considered fictional have changed into reality through the years. That's just part of science on this crazy, crazy planet that we call Earth. So turn off all of the lights now, because this show can only be heard in the dark. This is a special little early 4th of July weekend show for you. Won't be here next weekend. Oh, no. Red, red, we won't be here for the 4th of July weekend because Miss X will be back up in Maine. Miss X, Maine. I'm way up here. Look at a map of the United States, and you will see that I'm way up here in Maine. Way up here. And I'm not just up in Maine, but I'm in a going back to a farther section north in Maine. So I'm even farther up in Maine. Well, you do have to listen to old-time radio shows in the dark. It's the best way to listen to them. Believe you me. And before I forget, like I do every time I do this show, for once I'm not forgetting. This is the Facebook page that I need all of you to go to. I need all of you listening to like the page. So click the little like button at facebook.com. The Midnight Monster Movie with Miss X. Got it? That's the name of the page. Facebook, The Midnight Monster Movie with Miss X. And I got really exciting news for you that a lot of you will understand. The Ivana Kedavra woman, who is a horror host in California, you might have seen her on TV in the 90s and in the 2000s. I'm not sure if it was the 90s. It's probably the 2000s. I turned on my TV one night around that time, and she was on, and I said, who's that beautiful woman in black, in dark, doing horror monster movies? Well, Ivana Kedavra is following and a subscriber now to my videos that Miss X does. That's me, Miss X, yours truly, on YouTube. Yay! So I'm really honored to have heard from Ivana Kedavra. Thanks, Ivana. The most beautiful, beautiful horror host ever, Ivana Kedavra. Now, without going any further, I am going to get into, now if you want to call into the show, you know you can, 657-383-1357. That's area code 657. 383-1357. Their show every day. It's Halloween. You're listening to Night Owls Radio. We're getting into X-1 Project tonight with the title is The Coffin Cure.
This is the LibriVox recording.
That's what I just said.
All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Max Lindbergh. X-1 Project, The Coffin Cure by Alan E. Norse. When the discovery was announced, it was Dr. Chauncey Patrick Coffin who announced it. He had, of course, arranged with uncanny skill to take most of the credit for himself. If it turned out to be greater than he had hoped, so much the better.
X-1.
The presentation was scheduled for the last night of the American College of Clinical Practitioners' annual meeting, and Coffin had fully intended it to be a bombshell. It was. Its explosion exceeded even Dr. Coffin called by C.P. Coffin et al. That's what it says, et al. Now, my idea in the first place, Jake and I both pounding our heads on the wall for ink-nosed unanimity. The powers of the Kremlin sniffed and blew and wept genuine tears on drafty days, while senatorial debates on earth-shaking issues paused reverently upon the unplugging of a nose and the clearing of a rhinorrheic throat. Other illnesses brought disability, even death, in their wake. The common cold nearly brought torment to the millions as it implacably resisted the most superhuman efforts to curb it. Until that chill November
day. This guy that's talking, he is doing the original stories that were heard on the 1950s radio show, X. Minus one. Yeah. Now we're going to take a little listen to The Moon is Green.
This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org.
I'm going to volunteer to read one of these. They take the old stories that were written for X-1 radio show, and they narrate them. That's what they're doing right now. That's what you're listening to.
Escape death could, by paying a very simple price, denial of life. life. Effie, what the devil are you up to? Her husband's voice chopping through her mood, a terrified rapture, made her heart jump like a startled cat. If by some miracle of feminine self-control, her body did not show a tremor. Dear God, she thought, he mustn't see it. It's so beautiful. And he always kills beauty. I'm just looking at the moon, she said listlessly. Scream. Mustn't see.
So what you're listening to is you can volunteer for this company called LibriVox that does old-time radio shows and other books. So what Miss X is going to do, what I'm going to do is I am going to volunteer to do one of these shows, and you'll get to hear it maybe in the future. Maybe.
Once, you little fool, and come away from the window. Green is a beer bottle, she went on dreamily. Green is emeralds, green is leaves with sunshine striking through them. Green grass to lie on. She couldn't help saying those last words. They were her token to the face, even though we couldn't hear. Effie. She knew what that last tone meant. Wearily, she swung shut the ponderous lead inner shutters and drove home the heavy bolts. That hurt her fingers. It always did. But he mustn't know that. You know that those shutters are not to be touched. Not for 5 more years, at least. I only wanted to look at the moon, she said, turning around. And then it was all gone. The face, the night, the moon, the magic. And she was back in the grubby, stale little hole facing an angry, stale little man. It was then that the eternal thud of the air conditioning fans and the crackle of the electrostatic precipitators that zipped out the dust reached her consciousness again, like the bite of a dentist's drill.
Ew.
We wanted to look at the moon.
Ew, dentist drill. X doesn't like that.
Be that much more ashamed of you. Then his voice went gruff and professional. Here, count yourself.
Yeah, if you've been abused in your life and you've experienced lots of things and come through it, you too can be one of these public domain old-time radio show dialogues on air. That's what you're listening to. These are all old shows that were heard on the radio show X minus one, which was a science fiction collaborative collective show back in the 1950s on radio. And when you listen to old science fiction radio, you are all in your mind. You're picturing and imagining things that maybe they never even thought that you would imagine. Maybe wasn't even what they were thinking when they wrote it. But, you know, there it is. You're imagining it. Now to hear some more old-time radio, we're going to get into the show Nightfall. This episode is called Buried Alive. No way. This used to scare me so bad.
A word from our sponsor.
Thanks to a special arrangement between Mr.
Definitely not going to listen to that because that used to scare Miss X. We're not listening to that one. How about suspense? Now this was an old time radio show that was very popular. 1940s suspense. And just basic old sci-fi radio.
Understand. Anyway, I set my recorder up with a timer to tape the new show, and what I got is what I just played for you. Now, please be patient and hear me out, because I'm convinced that this is only one of a series of occurrences which must be recognized for what they are, or the world will soon be plunged into a nightmare.
Hello, my name is James Edward Kerr, and I'm the host for the new radio drama series, Sci-Fi Radio. The tape I just played for you was mailed to me by an obviously very disturbed gentleman then elected to sign his name. He enclosed a letter with the tape that said, "Wait, I'll just read it." "And Mr. Kerr, your interest in science fiction and other wild tales of the imagination leads me to hope that you will listen to this tape and the others I will send you. Please listen and believe. You must. And then you must play them for all your listeners to hear before it's too late. Well, I won't say that I believed all I heard on these tapes, but I do think you deserve to hear them. Then you can judge his story for yourself. I'll have the next tape queued up in just a moment." "I'm John Williams, president of Astral Projections Records. I'd like you to hear the title cut from our latest CD. It's called Space-Time Peace.
It doesn't do any good to say that you've got it on tape. Everybody knows that old shows exist somewhere on tape. They think you're trying to put one over on them. More than once I was asked if I'd listened to Jack Benny lately. Very joking references to my crystal set radio. But then, at a lodge meeting the following Thursday, one man listened to my story with utter seriousness. When I finished, he told me that he had a strange little story of his own. As he related, I was puzzled by what's...
Are you scared, Night Owls? Have I entertained you with these weird radio shows tonight? I hope so. And remember, until next time, this is Miss X telling you to have a great horror weekend and a happy scream.
I took my tape recorder with me, of course, and here's what he told me. "Lou, will you state your name, occupation, and address just for the record?"
Sure. Lewis Trechner, coal and wood dealer, RFD1, Danbury, Connecticut."
"Thanks, Lou. Yes, your age, too.
Danbury, Connecticut.
54. Go ahead now.
Yeah.
Well, as I told you last night, it was in July last year when the first thing happened. I don't recall the exact date it was, but it was about 6 o'clock in the morning because I had walked out on the front porch to get the paper. You never know where the paper's going to be, you know. So I just turned around. I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, running right across the front of the house, up near the eaves, there was, oh, come over here, I'll show you. Right about there was a streak of gray paint, and it was still there. Now, it was about the width of a 4-inch brush, and it looked like hell on this house. I mean, it's white. I figured some a joke or something, but you know, if they did, they had to get a ladder up there to those eaves. You wouldn't figure they'd go to that much trouble. Wasn't smear either. Real careful job. A nice, even stripe straight across the front of the house. Anyway, I got a ladder, and I got it cleaned off with turpentine. But as I was telling you yesterday, that wasn't the end of it. I mean, the next thing that happened, about 3 months later, when I decided the whole house could use a new coat of paint, you know, that white hadn't held up so good this time, so I just decided to try to paint it gray. I got the front finished last at about 5 o'clock one Saturday afternoon. And the next morning, I saw a streak of white paint across the front of the house. First thing I figured it's the damn kids again, because it was in the same place as before. But when I looked close, I saw it wasn't new paint. It was the old white paint I'd painted over. Somebody had done a nice, careful job of cleaning off the paint in a long stripe about 4 inches wide right across the front of the house. Now, who in the hell would go to that much trouble? I just can't figure it out.
Now, Mr. Kerr, and whoever else may be listening to this recording, do you see the link between Mr. Trachner's story and mine? Suppose for a moment that something had happened on each occasion to briefly disturb the orderly progress of time. Now, that seemed to have happened in my case. I heard a radio broadcast that had actually been made years before. Now, suppose then that no one had touched Mr. Trotsner's house but himself, that he had painted his house in October, but that through some fantastic mix-up in time, a portion of that paint appeared on his house the previous summer.